Yes, today is my birthday. I am 46 years old. I was born on Friday the 13th in 1962. That explains a lot, I know. So I'm a 46-year-old with a 26-year-old mind wanting to run around and 64-year-old knees. I had to go to the doctor this past week. Once we got back from the Philippines, my knee was bothering me, and so I went to the doctor, and he said, well, you might have bursitis. But they took x-rays of both my knees, and he didn't know how old I was when he looked at the x-rays, and my right knee is bad, really bad. Some of you can tell when you look at it. It bows a little bit. He said, you're a candidate for surgery, have a knee replacement, except you're too young and you're too active. And so I will struggle with it, and I will work with it. And every year I'm supposed to get an x-ray of my knees. For some reason, I got to get x-rays of my knees so that I make sure I'm not wearing all the bone out in between there and stuff like that. So where are we at? This is week number 3 of a four-week series, Life in a Goldfish Bowl. And we took a break last week, so about 3 weeks ago, we started this with living outside of the goldfish bowl, is where we're at, and talked about how we are all created with this desire to serve God, this God-shaped hole in all of us, and we likened it to a goldfish bowl. And so I brought these goldfish out, and you might remember some of you were ready to take me out and beat me up a little bit. We took the goldfish and we set them out on the table and they flopped around. And that is much like us. If we are not living our lives serving God or with God filling us, then we're much like a goldfish that is out of the water and flopping around and struggling to breathe. And then we moved on and said, the next one was salt and light. It is a life to live. And as you're living your life in the goldfish bowl and you're serving God, He has called us to be salt and to be light. And you'll remember that we went through scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. We kind of read 13 the first half of 14. And it said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. And then today we want to kind of pick up with that and go on with part 3. But before we do that, there are a couple, I have a few slides here, and we are not called to be hidden, and that's where the next part of this goes. We are not called to be hidden, but in these pictures, James has the first one up here for you, there's kind of hidden things in the picture. So my question, I guess, is what is it you all see when you look at this picture? Swans. James, if you take your mouse and you drag way over to the side, the mouse will show up on the screen. There, kind of right where he's at, that's kind of the middle swan. There are three swans, one on each side of the arrow and then one right about where the arrow is. Now, if you stay right there on that and you just kind of click the button, it'll go, you can stay there and you can just click the button and it'll progress through the slides. Right underneath the swans, do you see the elephants? Oh, you went, he's dancing around on me now. If you just there you go. Right underneath the swans, you should see elephants. There are elephants that are kind of hidden in the picture. The swans come right out and the elephants are hidden in the picture. So it's a picture of swans and of elephants. Okay, go to the next one. What do you see? There is a fit. A what? A gorilla. Where's the gorilla? Keep looking, keep finding them. There's a face in the rock. There's an Alaskan king crab over there. I think if there is something in here, it is a face of some sort, it is a picture of something. You have a bird down in the bottom over here. There's a face in the grass. The gorilla head, there's faces all over in there. There's a cat and a fish up in the very top in the clouds. There's a gorilla head or a baboon right in the center of the great big, Mount Hood and stuff like that. So they are hidden. They are pictures that are hidden within there for you to eventually find. Let's do one more for today. Okay, how many people do you see? Count the people. Okay, you see 9 people in there. My question for you is, can you find the 10th African? There's 9 faces, 9 people in there. Can you see the 10th African? If you can, just raise your hand. Don't shout it out yet. There's 9 people in there, but can you see the 10th African? I'll give you a clue. It is not a person. You see it? Some people can see it real easy. Others, you can't necessarily see it. James, do you see it? James doesn't see it yet. Okay, some of you have seen it. It is an animal. It's a 4-legged animal. It has stripes. You catching it now? A 4-legged animal with stripes. It is a zebra. The ears, the guy right here above me, on his cape, is the beginning of his ears. And you come all the way down to the bottom of his cape, and that's the zebra's feet. Now you go to the 5th child over, and that's the backside of the zebra. You see him now? Does he pop out? Some of you are walking over. You can come up for a minute and look at it. They are hidden pictures, pictures where things have been put in there and hidden. I like Bev Doolittle. She does a lot with horses and hides horses. I think it's amazing. I could just sit there for hours and stare at her pictures. I have one of them at my house. But that's what I want to talk a little bit about today is there is no need to hide. When I got up here the first week, I brought a picture that Lisa and I bought from the Philippines, and you've all seen it, yes? The picture that we brought from the Philippines with us, the one that we bought while we were there, well, it's right up there. See it? It's been sitting there for 2 weeks for you all to enjoy it. It's right there. Now, here's the real big hook. If you actually want to see it, I'll show it to you next week. I brought it for another one because when I first saw it and said, now that is it. That exactly what it is supposed to be when you are to be light. And it's been sitting here since I brought it the very first week. And it's been sitting exactly like that. So it is kind of hidden up there. But we are not supposed to be hidden. I want to read for you Matthew. And it's going to be a little bit different, so you can look it up if you want. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And most of your Bibles, if you're sitting in the front, the pew Bibles are probably NIV. Toward the back, you get to Revised Standard. But I want to read it for you from the Message, because it makes it so clear. You know, we sit there and go, salt and light. But Eugene Patterson? I want to say Patterson. My mind keeps going to Peterson, but that's the guy who writes musicals, isn't it? He wrote the Message, and this is what he has to say. Let me tell you why you are here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. I'm at verse 14 now. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. Be opening up to others. You'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Well, that's what we want to talk about today. There is no need to hide. As Christians, if we're living our lives, I'm going to get some water over here. If we're living our lives in the fishbowl, we are not called to hide. We are not called to be put under a bush. And I want to present to you that there are kind of 4 reasons or 4 ideas behind it. Is the first one is we are placed. God has placed us where we are at. The youth and I got to go to Acquire the Fire back in April, and while they were speaking, I was writing notes. And on the side of one of my notes, written sideways on the paper, I had this verse written down. I didn't recognize the verse or didn't even notice the verse until Lisa and I got to the Philippines, and I was kind of going through my notes looking at it, and I go, what's this verse for? And I looked it up, and it was found in the book of Esther. And have no idea what it was doing on the paper, except that I wrote it down. When the guy was speaking, he was not talking anything about that I can remember. So I have no idea why it was there, but yet it was there, and it's Esther. Where am I at now? It was in Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. Oh, James already knows where I'm at. And the story here is, you all know at least a little bit about Esther, hopefully. She was Jewish. She got into the king's court. She got to spend time with the king, one of his servants, maid girl and stuff. And the king has passed a decree that the Jews are not allowed to worship. Jews are doing things, or they're going to be killed. And Mordecai, who is her uncle, has sent messages to her saying, hey, you need to go before the king, and you need to tell him what it is we're doing, where we're at, and kind of plead for your people. And she kind of comes back and says, if anybody goes before the king, they're going to die. You know, you cannot go before the king if he doesn't summon you. And so they've kind of been going back and forth a little bit. And Esther chapter 4, verse 14, Mordecai is responding to her after she's kind of been reluctant to go before the king. And Mordecai says this, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such a time as this. And while Lisa and I were in the Philippines, I was trying to evaluate, what are we doing here at Richmond Church? What am I doing here? For years, when Pastor Doug was still here, while Pastor Jeff was here, it's one of those things. What is my calling? What am I here for? God has not released me. He has not told me I can go somewhere else. He has told me I'm stuck here. I need to stay here. I get to be committed to all of you. And so what is it he wants? And as I was reading this, the last line, for such a time as this, 46 years in the making, God has said, I need you to be at Richmond for such a time as this. You all are here. You're here today. God has placed you here for such a time as this. What are we going to be doing? Where are we headed? Future will let us know. But he has called us, and he has placed us right here. Going on, Apostle Paul exhorted the Ephesians in chapter 4. Verses 1 through 4, and he says to them, therefore, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are called, one hope of your calling. We have been called. Within all this, God has placed us here. He has placed us in Richmond. He has called us for a purpose. And if he has called us for a purpose, he has called us here in Richmond to reach out to this community or to take Christ as the city, as we always talk about, then he will provide for us. If you know much about Elijah, Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament. He came before Elisha. In 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 2, God was talking with Elijah. He gave him a vision and said, I'm going to make it dry. It's not going to rain. I'm going to make it really dry. And he says, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So Elijah went. And you've got more of it here than what I just read. And I'll get to some of that in a little bit. Elijah went, followed God, what God had told him to do, and went where God had told him and where God had placed him. And every day he had water to drink, and the ravens would come and bring him food. Eventually, the brook went dry. Verse 7, down toward the bottom. And God says to him, the brook is going dry. You will not be provided here anymore. But I need you to go to that town, Zarephath, okay? I need you to go to Zarephath, and when you are there, a widow will take care of you. Well, the story goes on. It's not up here. He goes to the widow, and he talks to the widow, and she says, but I only have a little bit for us. And Elijah told her, okay, gave her some instructions on how to get the flour and the bread, and God provided for the widow and Elijah and her son through that time. So God had placed Elijah by the brook And Elijah followed, and God provided for him there. Then when God said, I need you to go over to here, to Zarephath, and when Elijah did that, God provided for him there. Where God places you, God will provide for you. That's what it's about. Where God places you, if he has placed us here in Richmond Community Church, in the middle of Richmond, and if you look at it, I know Pastor Dave, when he was speaking, he had the map, and I have the PowerPoint of that, and I've looked at it, and there was a group that did a study, and I filled out a questionnaire for us, of different communities around here. And if you take Richmond Community, it's not perfectly rectangular, but it goes like this. We are smack dab in the middle of Richmond Community. God has placed us here for a reason. If he has placed us here and he has called us to be here, then he will provide for us. That's what it comes down to. That's the first part. Second one. I got notes. If God has placed us here, God has also instructed us on what to do. It is in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, and also in Mark 16. James will show them to you there. I have parts highlighted. God has instructed us. His instructions are for us to go and preach, to go and teach in the world and make disciples. So it's highlighted there, Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. It says, go and make disciples. And then he goes down and says, teaching them to observe all I've commanded. And then in Mark, it says, go and preach. God has called us. If he has called us and placed us here, his instructions to us are we need to go out to this community. And we need to reach this community through our preaching, which is using our mouths, through our speaking. Next one. Through our preaching, through using our mouths, through talking to people, through our teaching, and in doing so, in talking with them, we can go and make disciples. That's what God has called us to do. He has given us a voice. Our light shines the brightest when we are out talking to people, when we are making a difference. Now, I've got a little bit of a wild idea. If God has called me and placed me to reach my community, and that is this community around here, I think he has also called me, Val Watkins, and my wife Lisa, to reach our neighbors where we live. So many times we talk about, we need to do a flyer distribution. We're going to have a concert here on the 29th of July, and we need to go around to all these houses here and invite people to come and attend this concert. And we do. As a congregation, I think we need to do that. We are kind of commanded or instructed to do that. But I think Lisa and I, we need to actually go to the neighbors who live next door to us and invite them to that same concert. Wherever you live, wherever you work, I think God would want you to go and invite your neighbors. If I'm willing to drive here from Park Rose where I live, then who knows? Maybe the people who live right next door to me would be willing to drive here or ride with me. I think our community is not only this place right here, these blocks around us, but our communities are wherever it is that we live. God has placed us where we are at, placed us with the things we are doing where we are at, but he also instructs us that we are to be lights that shine for them, and we shine our brightest when we are speaking for him. We shine through our voices and our conversations for you through your text messaging, through your emailing. I have text messaging now, so it's great. Not a lot of it, but I have it on a trial basis. It's not easy. It really is not easy. The youth are sending me texts and stuff, and I'm trying to go back to them, so I'm working on it. And we shine through our lives. Our lives make a difference by the way we live our lives, the things we do. We should be shining bright for Jesus. God has placed us, and God has instructed us. If he has placed us here, and has instructed us what to do, he will equip us and give us whatever it is we need to carry out the instructions because of our placement. God has equipped us. Jesus, when he was talking with his disciples just shortly before his death, he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Jesus was talking to his disciples, and you've heard it. He says, "I've got to go. I can stay here with you if you want, but you're better off if I leave, because once I leave, there's somebody else who's going to come who's going to help you. And then you'll not only have my power, but you'll have his power. And you'll be sent out. God has equipped us. He has given us all the instructions we need. He has given us the Spirit of God, which gives us the strength and the power to go out and to do the things that he has called us to do. Let's look at it this way. For a living, besides standing up here and preaching and working with the youth group, I'm a tile installer, which is great when you have bad knees. But, and I think, well, I'm going to get off of this for a second to tell you. People think as a tile installer, I'm on my knees all day long. Well, that's not the case. I'm on my knees not even half the day. I get down there. You know, there's tile to haul back and forth. There's thin set to move. There's all kinds of stuff. So most of the time, I'm up moving around and doing things. So I'm not always on my knees. I spend more time on my knees around here than I probably do when I'm working, which is a good thing. That is a very good thing. But God has called me to be a tile installer while I'm not working here. And my boss is glad that I install tile. And imagine one day he comes up to me and he says, Val, I have something I need you to do. And he hands me a book and he says, here you go. I need you to go and take care of this for me. And he hands it to me and I open the book and I look. And it's a book on how to build an airplane. How to do an airplane. I'm not an airplane builder. He comes back, you know, a few days later and something says, how's it going? And I go, I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm not equipped to do this. My calling, the work that I do is I'm a tile installer. Let's go a little bit farther with this. Some of you are really going to laugh at this one, but it's okay. I just recently thought of this. If I were to say, we are going to sing a song of worship right now, and we get over here. See, you're already laughing. I'm not even going to start. I can't even find middle C. You know, I've had people over and over and over again tell me where middle C is and show it to me. I'm lost. When I was younger and I was growing up, I took trumpet. I took trumpet when I was in middle school. 1 year of trumpet, and I could play the trumpet, and I haven't a clue. I'm totally lost. We were in youth group, and most of the people in our youth group, matter of fact, everyone but me, most of the people in our youth group could play the guitar or some other musical instrument, and I so desperately wanted to be just like them, and I wanted to play a musical instrument. So my mom went out and bought me a guitar. She got me a nice guitar. It was black and had 6 strings on it. And it was cool. It was a Christmas gift. And she got it for me, and I had it for about a week, and I was trying to figure out, you know, how to play it, and wasn't doing really good at it. And then some guy, his name was Ronnie, was there with us, and he was from Hawaii, and he was playing around. He was pretty good. I said, hey, can I borrow this for a little bit? I said, sure. And he borrowed it, and he was playing it, and he was doing this. And then he wasn't there anymore, and neither was my guitar. He went back to Hawaii with my guitar. I have never, ever seen my guitar since. But that's okay, because God did not necessarily equip me or want me to be a musician. I don't sing real well. I'm getting better at it, okay? When I was younger, I was tone deaf. I could not carry a tune. You did not want to be next to me. It was bad. Lisa's shaking her head. She knows that for a fact, okay? I cannot play a musical instrument unless you want to count the iPod or a stereo as a musical instrument. But that's because that's not what God was calling me to do. If you say, I need you to build this, or I need you to roof my house, I need you to do something, I can do that. I can work with my hands on things like that. If you say, I just need you to do a lot of hard work hauling stuff around, I can do that. God has equipped me to do that. I will go at 100 miles an hour all the time. But ask me to sing or to play an instrument like this worship team up here, it's not my calling. God has placed me where he wanted me to be, and he has equipped me. He has taught me how to do the things that he wants me to do. That's where I'm at. That's what God wants. He's not saying to me, I need you to play an instrument. No. And if I try to force it, that's not what God wants me to do. I'm not living where God wants me to be. The question is, what is it that God has called you to do? In a youth group right now, on our Sunday mornings, we're doing spiritual gifts. And a lot of them went through and took a spiritual gifts test today. And we were talking about it and looking at what their strengths are. And a couple weeks ago, we started this. What is it that you really, really love to do? What is it that you have a passion for? What is it that when you hear that you get to do this, you get really, really excited? With some people, you say, we're going to spend some time tonight just worshiping God, just singing songs. Some of you get really, really excited. Other people, you know, you can go, we're going to go and we're going to run for Jesus. And you go, yeah. Some of you go, ugh. Some of you go, yeah, that's great. When I want to relax, I go running. And you're all going, you're crazy. Yeah, you're right. But that's what I do. I relax by keeping myself busy. I can go out and run, and when I'm running, it's just me and God. And I can run, and I don't have to think about running. It comes natural, and it's just me and God. And I can talk with God, and he will talk with me. And I run and run and run. That's relaxation, sorry, Tim, for me. That's what it's about. That's what God has done. God has called me and instructed me with what he wants me to do. He has equipped me for that. And if God has called us and he has instructed us and he has equipped us, then he will strengthen us. Joshua. Moses had led the people out of captivity. What? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is a great sermon, but I'm not preaching that one today. Joshua, Moses had just led the people out of captivity, and for 40 years they kind of wandered around a little bit. They see the promised land. And Joshua's just a young man, and in Joshua chapter 1, I don't know if I have the verses there, I'm not sure I do. Starting kind of around verse 6, God is telling Joshua and says to Joshua, be strong and courageous. And then in verse 9 he says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, is with you wherever you go. I don't know where the thee came from. Joshua, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. I'll read the whole thing for you. Here's what he says. God is talking to Joshua. He has called Joshua and placed Joshua wanted to be. He has instructed him and told him, I need you to take these people across the river into the land that I have promised them. Thank you, James. And he has equipped him and given him all the things he needs for it. And he says to him, be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Those were God's words to Joshua back then. It's kind of an Old Testament illustration, Old Testament story, but it has New Testament application. God is with us. If he has placed us here in Richmond Community, he is with us and he will strengthen us. He will give us whatever strength we need if we are out doing the things that he has called us to do and he has placed us to do. He will allow it to happen. He will make sure that it happens. We don't have any need to hide. There's no reason to go out and hide. He has placed us here. He has instructed us on what to do. He has equipped us, and he will strengthen us. The goldfish. Many of you looked at this goldfish and said, that's one raunchy-looking tank. And you know what? You're right. I haven't done anything with it since last week. Usually I clean the water for him and do some stuff, but I haven't. You know, if the goldfish are in that tank, the little goldfish bowl, and it's facing you, and they come to the backside. I don't know if I can get them. If they go to the backside of that tank, you know you can't even see them. They can hide in there. But you all look at that, and I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you need to clean that tank out. Those fish, they're not designed to live in dirty water like that. They're not designed to be in things like that. There's a lot of application for us at Richmond Church that way. Here's the hard part. It's the hard part for me. This is where I've struggled with it. If we are placed here in Richmond Community, as Richmond Community Church, are we like this fish tank, this fishbowl? They do have names by now. One person said that one of them should be called Moldy, and the other one said that the other one should be called Goldy because it rhymes. So I now have Moldy and Goldy, okay? You can figure out which one is which by looking at them. But we need to, here at Richmond Community Church, if we are going to be lights that shine, we need to clean our water up. We need to allow ourselves to be lights that shine. We need to not be hiding in dirty water. Our building around us at times is run down. We need to work on fixing it up, cleaning it up. We need to be here to be a presence in the community. We didn't say anything about this in the announcements, and this is not in my notes, but here goes. In 2 weeks, there's a parade. They're basically having a great big street fair here in Richmond and Clinton, and on Division and Clinton. They're going to have a parade that's going to go right down in front of our church. It starts at 50th, yep, and it goes down to like 20th or something around there. There's a parade that's going to go right down in front of our church. And it happens every single year. And when the parade goes by, there's nothing happening at this church. This year, we're going to change that. We met as an advisory council yesterday, and we've decided that we are going to open our doors. We're going to let people come in and use the restrooms if they need to. We're going to put canopies up out here. We're going to have free popcorn. We're going to have free water. We may have our worship team out here playing some instruments. We are going to let people know that Richmond Community Church is still here in Richmond. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. If God has called me for such a time as this to be here at Richmond Community Church, and you all have said through the survey that we've taken that we want to take Christ to the city and we want to reach out to young families, I am going to do everything I can to make that possible. We have concerts that are taking place. We're going to do this parade. We are doing all kinds of things, whatever it takes, so that we can take Christ to the city, so that we can do the things that God has equipped us to do. That's what it's about. That's what we need to be doing. That's what I am working toward. I will come up, I've told the advisory council this, and I'll tell you this. I will come up with some really, really harebrained ideas, some really wild ideas. That is, I guess, why I am a youth leader and a youth pastor, and I just expect them to say, that one will work, this one will not. And together, with myself and our pastoral staff and our leadership, we are trying to make a difference. We are going to be lights that shine. I can be one little light that shines. Hide it under a bushel, no. It's a good song. Most of us know that. I had actually thought about having the kids come out and sing that for us. Most of you probably know it better than the kids will. But I can be one light that shines, and I will shine and make a difference. But if we all get together and let our light shine and do the things that God has called us to do, and the things that he has equipped us to do, I don't expect you to go out there and set tile. I don't expect you to be able to get out there and run around all over the place and do all kinds of things. But God has given each one of you special gifts. He has given you special things that only you can do. That's why he created you. There are no mistakes with God. There are no mistakes with God. You are not a mistake. And you were born to live at this time. And you are here at this place because God has something very special for each and every one of you. And he has a special calling that he wants from each one of you. I am desperately seeking what God wants for me to do, where God is leading me and what he wants me to do and where he's strengthening me and equipping me. And I'm following him wholeheartedly, completely sold out to him. Whatever it is he tells me to do, I will do. That is why I am standing up here talking to you right now. Whatever he says, I will do. That's what it's about. That world out there needs to see our light. Richmond Community Church, sometimes the worst thing we can do is to show up here in this building and sit in this building, and then when we leave, we leave. Because this building becomes a bushel, and all of us are in here, and we're hidden. And then we go out, and we leave this community, and the community has no idea we're here. We need to be lights that shine here in this community and in the streets where we're at. Because everybody needs compassion, and everybody needs to know who Jesus Christ is. And that's what it's about. There is no need to hide. As Christians, God has strengthened us. God has equipped us. He has called us to go out and to be lights that shine in a city that needs us desperately.